on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making, I'll tell you what, there was a lot of it made over the 72 hours since our last broadcast. Right after we went off the air, or my show, we ended my show on Friday, Trump issued a statement encouraging the release of the search warrant and the inventory. This is, sounds like ancient history now, but that's what happened Friday. He said he wouldn't oppose the release. The FBI agents then revealed, Merrick Garland revealed, the warrant, the criminal statutes under which they were proceeding, including the espionage statute, and that they took out about 11 sets of classified documents. Four sets of them were top secret, three were secret, and there are three sets of confidential. Of the sets of top secret, there's a category above top secret that says compartmented. That means it has to be reviewed in a certain room under supervision. And you may say, well, the President of the United States, why should he have to do that? Back in the 1950s, Dwight Eisenhower was the president. He was also the general that had been in charge of our military when we won World War II. He was universally respected, and there was no one more patriotic than he in the whole country. And yet, when he would review top secret information, compartmented information, he would go to a secure location, and somebody would bring it in a briefcase where the guy's handcuffed to the briefcase. Open it up, president would look at what he wanted to look at, hand it back to the guy would put it back in the briefcase and leave. The Washington Post has revealed that these documents, the top secret documents and the compartmented documents, included nuclear material, including material about our nuclear capacity. And Trump, to this day, doesn't deny taking classified nuclear documents from the White House. His first line of attack was that he falsely accused Obama of doing the same thing. That's false. What he's referring to is Obama, his supporters are building a library for his papers. Every president has a library somewhere. And they asked permission from the National Archives to have the National Archives bring some documents to Chicago that they could review for the library. They were not nuclear documents. They were not top secret documents. They were not classified documents. But they were documents of interest in the White House, the family, that kind of thing. Even then, the archives transported them to Chicago and kept supervision of them. And they were non-classified. And people from the library could come in and look and say, well, that'd be kind of a nice thing to have in there. What do you think? And on a case-by-case basis, the archives would say fine or no. So that's the answer on that one. You know, there is this is a very, very grave thing. Let me tell you something. A lawyer for Trump back in June, remember, something like 7 months ago, they turned over something like a dozen boxes of they said classified material, largely torn up and shredded. The FBI, the Justice Department, and the archives realized that they hadn't given them close to everything Trump had taken. So they went back in June and they met with Trump's lawyers. And Trump came into the meeting breezily to wave at him and then leave. And the lawyers signed a document saying that they had turned over all, underline all, ALL, classified documents that Trump had taken. That was false. And I'll tell you that what that lawyer did, if they did that on purpose, that's a felony. It's called obstruction. He signed the document or she signed the document. If they don't want to go to jail, they'll have to say, well, I in good faith thought that was the case because Donald Trump told me, or Mark Meadows told me, or whoever told me. And then that person has committed a felony. That person has committed a felony. Well, I'll tell you what, this compartmented requirement for reviewing certain top secret information, and this goes beyond nuclear documents, but you know, nuclear documents are a set of documents unto themselves, and they're nuclear documents that can't be declassified. Trump claims, well, I declassified them. Well, first of all, there's no record that he did. Normally what happens is you go through a process and you remove the classification label. That didn't happen here. But he's basically saying, well, I just said it to myself, or if I have it, then I impliedly declassified it. You can't declassify certain nuclear documents. Even if you're the president, you can't declassify them. You can't just declassify our nuclear secrets and publish them or sell them. You can't do that. The concern in the intelligence community, the concern in Congress, my concern, your concern, is that if these documents are revealed, if these documents were shown to somebody, remember they were kept for over a year in an unlocked storage room in a resort. This resort has thousands of people in it swarming around every day, employees, you know, banquets, this one, that one. And by the way, just in now, Ron Johnson, running for re-election against Mandela Barnes, Ron Johnson just issued a statement just now, quote, I'm not too concerned about it. Mar-a-Lago is a very safe place for top secret documents. They have Secret Service protection down there, end quote. That is, first of all, that's a kindergarten type statement. Secondly, this guy is such a slave of Trump. For him to defend this by saying, it's okay if there were top secret nuclear documents there, because Mar-a-Lago is a very safe place. No, it's not. It's a resort. And they have Secret Service protection. They don't have an agent in every storeroom. They don't have an agent in every kitchen. They don't have agents swarming around the banquets, seeing if there are Ruskies in there. They don't monitor everything and everybody Trump says or talks to. That's what our senator said, and he also issued a statement after the search saying that he does not trust the FBI or the Department of Justice. That's not American. We want an American senator. We don't want a Russian senator. We want an American senator. The concern among professionals is this. You can, if you see certain information that we have as top secret compartmented, in other words, it has to be reviewed, can't be taken out of a secure location. Somebody has to go there, review it, and bring it back, so forth. If our enemies, and by enemies, I'm going to say Russia, China, Iran, ISIS, and basically any communist country in the world and a lot of jihadist countries, if they review this, they can deduce, they can reverse engineer how we got it. How we got it. If it's highly, highly classified information, even in their countries, they know there are only 5 people who have access to it, or 10 people, or 3 people. They know that one of them had to be a mole, and that mole will be sniffed out through torture and killed. This is what Trump is playing with. This is what he's playing with. There's some documents in there about Emmanuel Macron, president of France, apparently. Documents in there about Kim Jong-un. These are secret, top secret documents. Why are they in an unlocked storage room in Mar-a-Lago? As a result of the search, FBI agents have gotten death threats, their families have gotten death threats, and the judge who signed the warrant and his family members have gotten death threats, and the identities of the family members have been put online. And this is defended by the Republican leadership. Scalise was asked about that. Stephen Scalise of Louisiana is the number two guy in the House, Republican leadership. He said, well, they're rogue FBI agents. Well, first of all, they're not rogue FBI agents. They're directed by the Department of Justice. They're part of the Department of Justice, and a federal judge reviewed the affidavit and agreed there's probable cause to believe a crime had been committed. Secondly, Scalise is saying it's okay to threaten murder to the relatives of FBI agents if the Republicans don't like the fact that they executed a search warrant and just deem them rogue. And that's inhuman. You know, this has gotten to the point. You look at Steve Scalise, Kevin McCarthy. You look at Elise Stefanik, the number three in the House. Remember, they threw out Liz Cheney because she has integrity and she's honest, and they put in Elise Stefanik. These people are so afraid of their right-wing freedom-type caucus, Marjorie Taylor Greene's, Paul Gosar's, people of that nature, that they will betray the United States. They will say things that give aid and comfort to people who are threatening to kill FBI agents. That is how degraded and servile they are. That's how degraded and servile they are. Let's look beyond this a little bit. I'm going to give the background of how this is all set up. There's a Ben Rhodes, who is the he was a former official in the Obama administration, said that on these compartmentalized and compartmented documents, the top secret ones, if the people who are our enemies in Russia and China ever actually saw these, and after the break, I'm going to describe how it turns out, I think they have already seen them, and how there's still documents that Trump hid and has not turned over. We have people, agents in danger in those countries. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you.
Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling us in your mind today, Gene.
This is one of the most alarming things that I have seen yet. I mean, we went through where he was, you know, being investigated by Mueller, and those were Republicans, great Republicans, strong Republicans, and brave that came forth on the different things Trump was doing to put our country in danger. But who opens their mouth and is flapping at the wind, trying to make it look like it was no big deal, was Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson was on a very important committee, Homeland Security, and he never did a gall dang thing to keep our country safe. And in fact, he does a lot of things that hurts our country. And I hope people wake up, because this is unbelievable. Then I was watching Republicans' responses to this going after our FBI, and then there were accounts of people having guns outside one of the FBI's office, these people that are allowed to carry the military-style weapons. This is just outrageous and sick. And if people don't wake up and see the danger these people are calling, and I'm getting, I am not going to make excuses for anybody, and I call them excuses now, because we need to face the fact that these Galdern people are dangerous, and those that sit with a zip lip because they're afraid of Marjorie Taylor Greene, that insane, psychotic woman that doesn't have a brain in her head, we got to start paying attention to this, because this is significant, and this is about our security. You know, he made a fool out of himself, Trump did. So did Ron Johnson going over to Russia, and oh, the thing that happened with Russia is okay. And it, you know, the thing that really bothered me, I've been watching this, and when I was watching live, the United Nations, they didn't trust us at first because of Trump. They were afraid that us idiots were going to vote another person in like Trump and Johnson, and who can they count on to lead, you know, the nations? They're afraid that we're so idiotic that we're going to put another one in like Trump or Trump again or people like Johnson. I hope people wake up, because this is significant. This is about the United States of America. This isn't about no party that's been taken over by pretty dangerous people that arm people with military weapons, don't care if kids are killed in schools. Wake up, folks, because this is it. You've got to wake up. You've got to vote these people out, because they are dangerous. Thank you so much, Matt, for covering this subject. I couldn't sleep all weekend after I watched them on TV. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Gene, and thank you for your calls and your passion, and you hit it right in the head. What Gene's referring to is last night, an armed crowd went to the FBI headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona, and they were out there with semi-automatic weapons. Now, they didn't fire them, and if they had, then they would have been arrested. But this is an intimidation tactic. And what if you're an FBI agent walking in? Are you supposed to sneak in the back door? And what about secretaries? You know, what about staff? This is, you know, and she referred to Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson on July 4th, 2018, was not at some kind of 4th of July celebration. He was in Moscow, Russia. Why did he pick that day? I mean, he knew that the significance of the day. Who did he meet with? What did he say? And why did he go? Why did he go? There is a news anchor on Russian state TV named Evgeny Popov. That's his name, Popov. Evgeny Popov, it's bad news, and he's the guy whom Putin uses when he wants to communicate a threat and he doesn't want it attributed directly to him or his government. So he has Evgeny Popov. So Evgeny Popov one time said they should use nuclear weapons in Ukraine, and everybody looked on that as saber rattling by Putin, but without having the guts to come out and say it himself, and they discounted it rightly. But this time, let me tell you what Evgeny Popov said over the weekend. Evgeny Popov, anchor for Russian state TV, he's Putin's mouthpiece, said that the Russians have already seen the Mar-a-Lago documents and that they relate to the development of new nuclear weapons, some innovation in nuclear weapons. Immediately, the Republicans said, well, that's just propaganda. Oh, really? That's just propaganda. Well, there's an easy way to find out. When we find out, or when it's revealed what the nuclear secrets were, if they have to do with new nuclear weapons and the Russians have seen them, Trump has to go to prison. Trump has to go to prison. We executed the Rosenbergs in the early 50s for betraying us by giving nuclear secrets to the Russians. And we didn't even have a state of war with Russia at the time. There's a violation of the Espionage Act. And you may say, well, come on, how can a former president be a spy for another government? He's functioned that way even in his presidency. He would meet with the Ruskies with no Americans present, none, not a single one. That is dangerous as heck. You know, one of them goes to the bathroom, and it turns out there's a bug planted in the baseboard. I assume he had the White House swept afterwards. I'm not sure he did. I'm not sure he did. I'm not sure he did. He's funded by the Russians for more than 20 years. Eric Trump said that to a reporter, because they can't get funding from New York banks because they've stiffed them so often. Who helped Trump get these documents? Some staff had to bring them to him. Who knew that he took them to Mar-a-Lago? Who is the mole that told the FBI what's there and where they are? And one of the most disturbing pieces of information that came out is the Justice Department, the FBI, and the archives are now convinced that the FBI search itself didn't retrieve all of them, that there are still top secret documents at Mar-a-Lago. Why is he holding on to them that strongly and that fiercely? What did he do with them? What does he intend to do with them? Who does he intend to show them to? Who does he intend to sell them to? Or who does he intend to give them to avoid blackmail? Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. And by the way, Donald Trump and his family watched the whole raid on surveillance cameras as they were sitting in New York. The only time the cameras were shut off was for a brief period when the FBI agents were talking to Trump's legal team. So the legal team was there to observe them too. And the cameras were switched on, and Trump and his family watched the whole thing. So if they're talking about somehow the FBI themselves brought in the boxes that they're carrying out, that's baloney. There is surveillance video, and they watched it. That's why they're not pushing that argument as much, because the FBI and the Justice Department would simply say, okay, fine, you want to look at the surveillance video? The Trump family does not want the surveillance video looked at. This has gotten so ugly. I told you that there are armed people as of last night outside the FBI office in Phoenix with semi-automatic weapons. Not a single person in the Republican Party has said that that's a bad thing, much less saying that that is a criminal attack on the FBI and those people should be dispersed. The video footage that the Justice Department has seen of the search and the review of the documents suggests that there are still documents there and they don't know where they are. You know, the FBI went in and searched where the informant said to search, but the informant could have been misleading them as to the totality of the documents, or the informant might have been ignorant of where some of the other documents are. To go back and do a Mar-a-Lago search with, 100 agents, route all the guests out of their rooms, look into every closet and so forth, at what point do you not do that? At what point do you do that? I'll tell you this, if this had been an organized crime figure, and Trump has operated like an organized crime figure, or this is a Mexican drug cartel lord, or this is a any kind of a drug bust, that individual, Trump, would be in jail right now simply by finding, in this case, top secret information that were compartmented, that was kept for a long time in an unlocked storeroom, and then he put a padlock in it when they told him to in June. And, you know, there are a lot of ways to turn this over to the Ruskies. You have to Xerox it. Someday a guy comes up to Trump, because he would meet with Ruskies and no one else around, or he'd meet with people, and the FBI is not listening to these conversations, and say, some people I represent are very displeased that you've not repaid them the $500 million that has come due. Or the people that I represent are very displeased, and that video in the Moscow hotel room may have been released. They have to be released, and Trump simply say, there are some documents of interest to your friends, and they're in a storeroom. And then suddenly what happens is somebody has a some kind of a delivery man outfit on, or a food service outfit, and goes through there and walks in with a camera and just photographs them all. Russian state TV has said they have seen them. The Trump people and the Republicans say, well, that's just propaganda. But Evgeny Popov, who is the anchor of Russian state TV and a vicious individual and a tool of Putin, that's another words, Putin's line right now. see if it's true. And he says that the documents involve, among other things, new nuclear weapons planned by the United States. What has Trump's reaction been to this? I told you about Scalise, the guy in the number two guy in the Republican leadership in Louisiana, who said when it comes to these threats against FBI agents to kill them and their wives and children, well, they're rogue agents. That's what Steve Scalise said. I mean, he should be removed for saying that. What I don't understand are some of these constituencies in Louisiana and Georgia that will elect a Scalise, or in Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, or in California, Kevin McCarthy, or in New York, for God's sake, Elise Stefanik, when they say these things. Well, Trump has now upped the ante. Trump sent a threat to Garland himself, Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland, before the warrant was unsealed, in other words, on Friday, when he said that, oh, you know, I have no objection, he said, here's the text that he sent to Merrick Garland, quote, because of the FBI raid, the country is on fire. What can I do to reduce the heat? What can I do to reduce the heat? That is a typical organized time type threat. That some seemingly oblique statement, and he's sending this to the Attorney General. If I have any criticism of Merrick Garland right now, and he's gone way up in my estimation, is he's not pushing back more. He's too, you know, judicial and courtly. I mean, if it was Bobby Kennedy, he'd say Trump is a danger, he's lying, and we're going to do a dispassionate investigation, but we're not going to tolerate threats to the FBI. In any event, Trump then lashed out at the FBI over the weekend. Seriously, here's what he called them. He said they're corrupt. Here's what he's exactly said, quote, the FBI has a long and unrelenting history of being corrupt. Just look back to the days of J. Edgar Hoover. Nothing has changed except that it's gotten worse. And then he lashed out at Hillary Clinton and the supposedly fake investigation about Russia collusion. When they have Donald Trump Jr. on tape, the CIA does, because he was talking to the Russian embassy, and they taped the Russian embassy, not Donald Trump Jr. Then Trump called the FBI, quote, a criminal RICO operation. The FBI commits treason, espionage, and sedition. That's Trump saying that about the FBI. It's a criminal RICO enterprise. The FBI commits treason, espionage, and sedition. Not only is that false, but you attack, a former president attacks the FBI that way, there will be violence against the FBI, and then there'll be real violence against the people who did the violence. Trump has got to be indicted. I don't think there's any other way to stop any of this, to stop the betrayal of our country to the commie Ruskies, now the mafia Ruskies. RICO, by the way, stands for racketeering in corrupt organizations. And the Congress comes up with these weird, they think they're humorous titles, RICO, because there was this guy, RICO, in some movie, remember, because Mother of God, is this the end of RICO? And they thought that was funny, so they called it RICO. But basically, it's racketeering in corrupt organizations. That's the way you can get the mafia. That's the way you can get drug cartels. That's the way you can get jihad. And that's the way you can get Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is saying the FBI is that. So this has got to stop. We're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, Matt, during all of this stuff going on with Trump, constantly hear this comparison between him and Nixon. Nixon would be a piker next to this guy. You know, as much as I disliked him in eighth grade, he was elected president. And I remember reading that transition as being one of the smoothest running transitions in history between him and Johnson. Contrast this to this guy. What did he have going on at the time when he should have been doing his job? COVID was raging out of control. He left office barely getting the rollout, not even 3 million people vaccinated. Instead, he's stealing documents and finding a way to try and cover his butt on the way out. No, he is nothing like Nixon. He's Nixon on steroids, and then some. He's a criminal, period.
Right. No, I agree. Now, Nixon, by the way, was no damn good himself, okay? I mean, you know, because he's the guy, these burglars went into the Watergate they were caught, and that was Nixon apparently, or they had no proof that he ginned it up, but it was ginned up out of, you know, his supporters. But Nixon covered it up, and Nixon, you know, they sent burglars into Daniel Ellsberg's. He was the reporter that came out with the Pentagon Papers, his psychiatrist to throw shade on him. They did dirty tricks at the Democratic Convention in Miami in 1972 when Eugene McCarthy was nominated. So he was bad news. But the one difference between them is Nixon didn't commit his crimes to help Russia. And one of the things that is the biggest puzzles of this, and I think I know what it is, the solution to the puzzle, is why you have a former president who is so afraid of Putin, so servile to Putin, so invested in Putin. Russia, even before the sanctions, had only about the 10th largest economy in the world. We have the largest. The Ruskies is about the size of Italy, but Italy is a lot smaller country. And the Ruskies span 11 time zones. We span time zones from New York to Hawaii. So that's what, 8 time zones or 7 or something. They span 11 time zones. They only have 30 million people spread out in these villages, all like sort of little mountain men type people all around the country, and very crude, very primitive. And he's afraid of them. We have a much bigger military, a much more potent military. Why is Trump afraid of Putin? Why did Trump bring nuclear secrets to Mar-a-Lago? And also, who helped him? He didn't do that on his own. Who's the mole who knew where they were? Because that mole has criminal exposure. Maybe he did it because the FBI got to him and he ratted out. You know, I mean, Mary Trump, the niece, says she thinks it's Jared Kushner or perhaps Mark Meadows, whoever it is. Somebody ratted out Trump. But the fact is that Trump fought like an animal to hold on to these records even after he was sniffed out. He starts in a very, very primitive way back about 7 months ago by going, okay, here are 7 boxes, or 12 boxes, I should say. Oh, but they're all shredded and torn. Well, okay. And then they sign a document. His lawyer signs a document in June saying that's it. And that's lying. It was false. The mole rats him out. The FBI goes in based on the mole's information, and they get 11 more sets, including top secret, including compartmented top secret, which should only have been reviewed in the secure location. You remember when the Senate or the House Intelligence Committee reviewed some documents like that, they had to go in and you have to give up your phone. They don't want you photographing stuff. And then Matt Gaetz and the Republicans burst in to harass them and brought in their phones, and that was a big scandal. Well, Trump, there's a woman named Olivia Troy. Olivia Troy was Mike Pence's Homeland Security advisor and counterterrorism advisor. And she revealed last night that one time she went in the ladies' room at the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, not even the White House. And she found classified documents in the ladies' room on a shelf. Some woman had them and was reviewing them. Not only didn't review them in a secure location, walks into the bathroom, lays them down on a shelf, forgets them, and walks out. What's going on there? Many people in the Trump White House said that he would frequently take classified documents and he'd take them up to the residence, and he didn't care. And part of this is a way of delegitimizing classified documents to the point where people can, they're used to a careless handling of them. So he's doing, but these were not compartmented documents. She didn't find compartmented top secret documents in the ladies' room. And they were classified. They may have been simply confidential. But then he goes, he takes them, somebody helps him, somebody rats him out. He still has some documents in there. Russian state TV says they've seen them and that they have to do with new nuclear weapons. That means that they are going to know how that information got to them and who in their side of this thing has been given information to us. And it turns out there's more there even after the raid, or I should say the execution of the search warrant. Why is he going through all this? He doesn't sit there and read this stuff at night for pleasure. He doesn't read. He's doing it to show it to somebody. Give it to somebody. Who? Who? Nobody in our government. That leaves the Russian government, the Chinese, or the Iranian, or ISIS. or Saudi Arabia, who gave $2 billion to Jared Kushner. How did he get $2 billion from them? $2 billion. There's got to be a grand jury convened, and they come back with an indictment and start the criminal process to get to the bottom of this. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Direct, our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a terrible thing happened after our show ended on Friday. Salman Rushdie, the author, was stabbed 10 times on a stage waiting to speak in Chautauqua, New York, near Erie. It's in western New York. This is Chautauqua is an area where you get lectures, you get artists, you get novelists, writers. It's a great place. I've not been there, but I've read about it, and I think it's quite fine. The guy who did it was an Islamic terrorist named Hadi Matar, M-A-T-A-R, 24 years old, living in Fairview, New Jersey. I don't know why we let him in the country, but he was in Fairview, New Jersey. And he was obeying the fatwa of Ayatollah Khomeini that was issued a long time ago, and the bounty on Salman Rushdie's head under the fatwa was $3.3 million. So those are the facts. The reason that the Ayatollah Khomeini imposed a fatwa, which is essentially a sentence to be murdered for heresy, religious heresy, on Salman Rushdie is that Salman Rushdie wrote a book. Salman Rushdie wrote a lot of books. One of them was called Satanic Verses. And people in the Islamic world thought that this insulted the prophet. And if you do that, the sentence is death. We can't have this in the United States. And this is not the only instance of jihad that occurred in the last couple of days or a week. In Texas, a man, a murderer, a Muslim guy, murdered his two teenage daughters, beautiful girls, if you see the pic, really beautiful girls, nice girls, because they were dating boys he didn't approve of. So he said, I'm going to take you out to dinner. He was separated from his wife. They said, oh, great, I'm going to dinner with my father. Takes them out, pulls over to the side, pulls a gun, and shoots them both. And he claimed at the trial that he was being stigmatized for being Muslim. That was in Texas. There was an indictment issued, criminal charges, against an Iranian terrorist who had tried to hire a hitman to murder John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. Now, I have no regard for John Bolton or Mike Pompeo, but they're fellow Americans. And whatever disagreements I have, they stop at the borders of the United States, and we're not going to permit terrorists to murder him. $300,000 price put on Bolton's head, $1 million price put on Pompeo's head by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. But somehow these people get in the country. Then in New Mexico, four Muslim men were shot, murdered. Initially, there was a lot of public discussion that these were hate crimes and all that. It turns out there's another Muslim man who killed them. The killer was a Sunni. At least two of the victims were Shiites. And there's hatred between the Sunnis and the Shiites. I'm not going to get into the basis of it. It goes back 1,300 years. It has to do with a dispute or a fight over who should succeed the prophet after he passed away. And one group thought his grandson should, and another one thought, you know, his sort of, not chief of staff, but, you know, main supporter should. And for 1,300 years, they've committed murders over that. And this has got to stop. If you import jihad into your country, you're importing your own assassins. The culture will never change. It is not assimilable in Western civilization. that's being shown in France. Merkel of Germany admitted a million Syrian refugees from the jihadist culture without even notifying, much less consulting, France and England, UK. They came in and immediately murder was spread in jihad over Europe. In Nice, somebody drives a truck and kills up on the sidewalk, kills 80 some odd people. In Charlie Hebdo, they murdered the staff of a magazine. In Paris, they went through Paris and they murdered people throughout Paris, restaurants and everywhere else. In Britain, there are people who, they use cars to do it, they use knives to do it. The Jewish community is under attack in Europe. You cannot admit jihad in a civilized society because there's a cultural imperative to either forcibly convert or exterminate your hosts. It's as simple as that. We cannot have novelists up on a stage, have a guy come running out. He's described as, who was there said the attacker was dressed in black. Quote, he had a long black loose garment on him. He ran with lightning speed over to Salman Rushdie, stabbed him 10 times. Rushdie's going to lose an eye. He was stabbed in the liver. This guy is no spring chicken either. He's an older guy. Another guy got wounded by the knife as well. Nobody has time to react. He's sitting there waiting to speak at the Chautauqua conference. You surrender your First Amendment rights if jihad gets into your society. You simply surrender them. Because you have a right under our First Amendment to practice any religion you want. But if you're going to be murdered for practicing your religion, you've been deprived of your rights. You have a right to free speech, to write a novel. But if you are murdered for that, you've been deprived of your rights. The doctrine that requires murder has got to be excluded from the United States. And we're not taking this seriously. We really are not taking this seriously. You know, when the Afghanistan government fell, we brought in something like 125,000 people from that culture. We did not have 125,000 interpreters or people loyal to us. They're people that jumped on a plane. And this is jihad. This is the introduction of jihad in our society. While the numbers are small and not everybody is bold, as they get bigger, you end up with Lebanon. Lebanon, at one time, was supposed to be a haven for French Christians in the Middle East. And then more and more people from jihadist cultures came in, and now it's a mess. It's constant civil war, constant bombings, and constant murders. The Democratic Party, both parties, frankly, but the Democratic Party never has recognized this in our immigration policy, and it's got to right now. Remember one final thing on this. People in foreign countries have no rights under our Constitution. I'll give you an example. If an American citizen goes abroad, they maintain rights under our Constitution. Somebody from a foreign country comes into the United States, they can't be, they have some rights, they can write to free speech, and they can't be searched without a search warrant and so forth. But if somebody in another country said, you're keeping me out in defiance of your Constitution because of my religion or because of this or that, he has no rights. There were some people that came up from El Salvador wanting to get in the United States, and they had gang tattoos on. And the people at the border said, you can't come, and they sued. They said, it's just art. And the court said, you have no rights at all, threw them out. Guy comes in through Canada. They want to search his computer. He said, you need a warrant. They said, no, we don't. And the court said, get out of here. You don't have any rights. We've got to crack down. We can have not have any more attacks on Salman Rushdie's. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.